Okay, let's pray again. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you so much to bring us together to, Lord, remember your resurrection day and to come and worship you and to learn more and more about you, Lord. Thank you for revealing to us who you are. You, the Lord, the provider, Jehovah Jireh. And you being our banner, Jehovah Nisi. And Lord, today, thank you for blessing us for a time to meditate on you as Jehovah Nisi, or Jehovah Rapha, God the healer. And so thank you, Lord, as we learn more about you, Lord, would you help us by your Holy Spirit to deeply understand who you are and what that means to us, Lord. And so bless our time together. May our hearts be touched by your word and be refreshed by your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's see. As I've already shared with you about my excitement for this week, that President Trump declared the church to be essential. And this is something I was hoping for from the very beginning. I even wrote, was a Governor Newsom, that we should be considered essential worker. So my expectation was at least they should consider the Christian workers as essential workers. But God went beyond my expectation. I think he answered the prayers of other Christians in having the church to be essential. What a blessing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let me see them hands over there. Hallelujah. I'm sure many Christians are really excited to be declared that the church is essential, along with cannabis, along with liquor stores. If these other places are essential, we definitely need to be considered essential. So this is my highlight and Thanksgiving. Okay, we are moving on in our series of Jehovah, who Jehovah is. There are seven names of Jehovah with the Jehovah in the front. We've already covered Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who is our provider. And we talked about Jehovah Nisi, the Lord who is my banner or our banner. And today we're going to move on to Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha means the Lord who heals, the Lord who heals. And it comes out, this particular name of God, it comes out in Exodus 15, specifically verse 26 says, and he said, if you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians, for I, the Lord, am your healer. I, the Lord, am your healer. And in Hebrews, is Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha. So, interestingly, this context, however, has no healing involved. In fact, the context is more about the Israelites grumbling. You know, we've been interestingly talking about the many incidents that happened for the Israelites during the 40 years in the desert. And they went through 10 grumbling phase, testing God, and just God revealing himself even through that test. But in this situation, it's actually the second grumbling, but it's actually the first test in the desert. Because previous to this is essentially the Israelites now being set free by the Pharaoh, and they were trapped by the Red Sea, and they grumbled. We're trapped. The Egyptians are coming. And so the first miracle that God showed was he parted the Red Sea, and they walked on dry ground through the bed of the sea. And when they completed crossing, and then the Egyptian soldiers came through the dry ground also behind them, God covered the Red Sea with water, and they were completely destroyed. And there were bodies floating in the sea. And so they saw the glory of God, how God was able to part the Red Sea. And this has been one of the major miracle that they repeat over and over again, what God has done for them. And they just witnessed an amazing miracle. And so from there, after giving worship to God, from the Red Sea, they went out in the wilderness about 3 days. So this is their first beginning stage of now walking through the desert and trying to get to the promised land. So they were off for 3 days, and along the way, they came to Mara, and they couldn't drink any water. They were thirsty. If you were traveling for 3 days in the desert, you would be pretty thirsty. And so they started grumbling to Moses. What shall we drink? And so they were complaining to Moses, and Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. They came to the water to this place, but there were no water, but the water they had was a stream, and this water was bitter. And so that's when they really complained. So there's some water, but then it's bitter. And so they were complaining, what shall we drink? And so when Moses cried out to the Lord says, here, show them the tree. Throw this tree into the water. And the water became sweet. Water became sweet. So there was a miracle that took place, is that there was a stream of water they wanted to drink, but they couldn't because it was so bitter. And they complained, we've been walking for 3 days and we're thirsty. And so then God gave instruction to Moses to go and take the tree over there and throw it into the water. And suddenly the stream of water turn sweet. So do you know what kind of tree that he threw in there? It's not mentioned here, but the tree that's described in other places, that it could have been, it's not exactly, it could have been a moringa tree. Moringa. Do you know that in front of our house we have a moringa tree? My sister somehow found out that moringa tree is the most full of vitamin. And some people in Africa, kids who were starving, they ate and they became plump. I don't know where she got this information, but what else the moringa tree does is it filters water. Do you know that? If you throw, I tried it actually. I took a branch of the moringa tree in front of our house and I put it in a cup and I threw it in there, and after a while I drank it and it was very clean. It's cleaner than the tap water. If you put a moringa branch in there, it's pretty clean. It filters the water. So people believe this tree was really the moringa tree because it does the work of filtering. And it does make it sweet. You know, if you just eat the moringa leaves, it feels a little, it tastes a little sweet, So anyway, that's my guess. And some people guess that it's to be so. But after this grumbling, the first grumbling in the desert, actually second grumbling, if you count the before the Red Sea grumbling, This is a forest in the desert, and God provides for them water that is sweet now. God makes it a statute, a regulation. So it's like, you know, when we have VSET and somebody ends up, you know, buying ice cream, a 1 gallon ice cream, you know, say, all right, from now on, there'll be no 1 gallon ice cream. You could get one ice cream. So it's like somebody doing something wrong, and then God makes a regulation. So it's kind of like post-incident regulation. So he makes a regulation to test them. And so this is what it says in verse 26 that we just read. And he said, if you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord, your God, and do what is right in his sight, and give ears to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you, which I have put on the Egyptian. For I, the Lord, am your healer. So this is more like a promise. Post-incident regulation, but also promise. If you do these things, then I will not bring all the diseases that I brought upon the Egyptians. So because I am the healer, I am the healer. So God is revealing himself that the condition is what is described, but if you do these things, then these diseases will not come, because God himself is the healer. So in considering Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals, I think from this passage, we might not be able to fully understand God as Jehovah Rapha. So it's not a healing incident, but it's more of a kind of a warning and a promise. If you do what, you know, I direct, then I will, you know, definitely be the protector. I will be the healer. So what I wanted to do is actually to take us to other examples of how God healed his people, individually and also corporately. We know that in the New Testament, Jesus is the healer, and he did so many miraculous healing. Well, in the Old Testament, God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the triune God, also reveals himself as Jehovah Rapha, God the healer. But so how does God heal a sick individual, and how does God heal a sick community even? So he heals individuals and also community, and we have examples of both in the Old Testament. So I wanted to take us through some of these. And these are all familiar to you, but it's just a reminder how God heals people. And in doing so we can see that he is indeed Jehovah Rapha, God the healer. And it's kind of long, you know, so if it gets too long, I'm just going to get the clock. One hour is up, we're going to stop, okay? So this may be possibly a two-session thing, but let's see how it goes. So first, the Lord who heals. How does God heal a sick individual, especially in the Old Testament? First, we see the healing of Miriam from leprosy. Numbers 12, 1 through 15. But in verse 13, let's have somebody read Numbers 12, verse 13. Let's have Brent. Are you able to read out there in the patio? You got to turn on the microphone.
Yeah, so.
Okay, go ahead and read Numbers 12, 13.
So Moses cried out to the Lord, please God, heal her.
Okay, so Moses cried out to the Lord, please heal her. So, you know, the backdrop of this story is Miriam and Aaron grumbled in their heart against Moses. Is Moses the only one who can marry a Midian? Is he the only one who God speaks to? And they were kind of comparing, and they felt maybe perhaps they didn't get the as much attention. You know, they grumbled inside. And, you know, the Lord heard that. Even though the grumbling in their heart, God heard and called them both out and said, you know, normally if there's a prophet, I would, you know, speak to them in a vision or in a dream. But for my servant Moses, I speak to him face to face. How then were you not fearful to grumble against my servant? And then Miriam received leprosy. Leprosy as a consequence of her sin. And then Moses, you know, cried out to the Lord, saying, "The Lord, please heal her." And so then God said, you know, if a father spits on a daughter, does it not take 7 days before she can be free from the shame? So she should leave the camp and for 7 days as a discipline. And so she was sent out of the tent, or the camp. And for 7 days until Miriam fulfilled that instruction of staying away for 7 days, discipline of God, the camp did not move, he says. So even our mistakes or sin and the consequences can not only impact us, but it could impact the community as well. So, but essentially, the sickness of leprosy came because Miriam grumbled against Moses, the authority that God has placed. But after that, how did God heal Miriam? It was not anything Miriam did, but it was what Moses did. So in this situation, the way God healed Miriam was when his prophet interceded on behalf of Miriam, the sick person. So we could learn from here, God does heal, and it was due to sin, and, you know, God does heal leprosy, but he heals through other people's prayers, maybe even receiving the prayer of the person who you grumbled against. It doesn't have to be even a leader. It could be somebody else. So when you feel like you are guilty of grumbling against someone, maybe it might not be bad to go and apologize, to say, you know what, I'm sorry, you know, I kind of grumbled against you, and just ask them, would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? In doing so, their prayer could be like the prayer of Moses, and God will answer their prayers. Secondly, is the healing of Hezekiah. Hezekiah, you know, he's a king of Judah. There's more good kings in the kingdom of Judah than the kingdom of Israel, nor the kingdom. And when Hezekiah came in, he did a lot of good. He tore down high places. He tore down, like, you know, this worship of Baal, Asherah. He brought his people back to the Lord, and he did a lot of good. Actually, he was a good king, pretty much all the way to the end. Except when the time came, he kind of acquired a terminal illness, mortal sickness, where Isaiah came to him and said, you need to set your place in order because your life is, you know, going to end. You're going to die. And when that was informed to Hezekiah just went on his bed, turned his face to the wall, and then he prayed to God, God, I've been so faithful to you. I've done good things for you. You know, why are you taking my life away? And he wept bitterly. It's interesting how he was a good king who worshiped God, and he removed idolatry from the land. And then when he came to his life, coming to the end, somehow he was not ready to accept that. So he I don't know, it feels like a bit of a a young person, a child, kind of like, I guess we were all a child before God. He went on his bed and turned against the wall and prayed and wept bitterly. And then God somehow relented or just was gracious, and he decided not to take him away at that point. And he graciously added 15 years to his life. And so Isaiah told the people to place a fig cake, okay, or a cake of fig, a processed or cooked fig, over the boil that caused this illness. So people, actually, figs are good. Go, anything that has figs, go eat it, because it's actually good for a body. In this case, God specifically used a cake of fig to put over the boil, and he was healed. It's interesting how it says the cake of fig was put over the boil, and he was healed. But then he doubted, am I really healed? So can you give me a sign, God, to say I'm really healed? And so I think Isaiah is the one who said, what kind of sign? And he said, is it easier for the shadow to go down 10 steps or for shadow to go up 10 steps? And I think Hezekiah said, can you make the shadows go up in the opposite direction 10 steps? And sure enough, you know, God did it. God made the shadow go backward 10 steps, and to let him know that you have definitely been healed. And so, but you know what that means? You know what he asked God to do? He asked God to have the sun go in the different direction, opposite direction, for 10 steps. Oh my goodness, God was willing to do that for Hezekiah. But sadly, the 15 years that he used was not very profitable. So think twice before you ask God to give you 15 more years, people. If God does give you 15 years more, 15 years more to your life, you know, are you planning on using that for God's glory, not defaming him? You know? So, but anyway, so we see here God is Jehovah Rapha, God the healer. He healed Hezekiah of his terminal illness caused by a boil. And the way he was healed is he just pleaded to God. It was no obedience required. He just called on the Lord, wept bitterly. So when you're sick, what should you do? Pray. Repent. If you need to weep, perhaps God may heal you. You know, I feel like I kind of went through all that. You know, my facial pain, as you know, the trigeminal neuralgia has been around for about 10 years, and I've been suffering through it. And you saw me kind of suffer through it when I'm giving messages in the past. But Conrad, the Mongolia missionary, seen me at my worst. Right? Every time I go to, even though I'm doing well in America, by the time I go to Turkey, I'm kind of doing okay. By the time I go to Mongolia, somehow the pain just kind of comes massively. Oh my goodness. And Conrad has seen me in pain. And in between meetings, I would go into his room. Thankfully, sometimes Conrad and Chloe let me use their bed, and so I would sleep at his bed, you know, in between, you know, messages. Oh my, thanks a lot, Conrad. I really appreciate it. But I suffered quite a bit, and I like to think I suffer well. Did I suffer well? So that's another thing you need to learn how to do, is when the suffering of sickness come, learning how to have good attitude and still serving the Lord. But anyway, suffering for 10 years. Hey, how's my face right now? I'm looking okay, right? Because I have absolutely no pain right now. And once in a while, but pretty much 95% is gone. Because, I will not mention the name of the medicine God led me to this past Christmas, because everybody thinks this is a hoax or something, but this is a real medicine that helped me to be healed of the root cause of this sickness. And you know what? God didn't use a moringa tree. He didn't use a cake of fig, but he used this medicine. It's called abendazole. So I consider this as a gift from God. All good things come from God. Would you not say? All good things come from God. And this, I believe, it was my cake of figs, my moringa tree. You know, and so praise the Lord. I don't know about you guys, but I'm praising the Lord for this amount of healing. I mean, every time I think about it, it's a miracle, actually, in a way, after 10 years of sickness. So, for Hezekiah, he did not need to do anything, but God instructed Isaiah to apply the cake of fig on the boil. So God provides the solution, just like I somehow came across it, actually through my sister. Yeah, my sister found out that in Korea, people are taking abendazole and people are getting healed of cancer, and especially like a nerve related sickness, which I had. And so that's why I started taking it. But this, I believe this is God's grace of healing. God's grace of healing. So another famous healing from the Old Testament is the healing of Naaman. Healing of Naaman. 2 Kings 5:1-14. From also his leprosy. Also his leprosy. But this is different from Miriam. He was a Gentile. So not only did God heal Israelites, God healed the Gentiles. You know what that means? God's intent was never to only save the Israelites. And that's the misconception of the Jews, that they thought the Messiah was only for the Jews. But even from the beginning, Abraham was to be the father of a multitude of nations. You know, Israelites were supposed to be the light to the nations. They were supposed to be worshiping God. And they were supposed to be an example, to be a light to the nation. So here, God healing Naaman is a huge declaration to the Jews, saying that my power is not only for my people, Israel, but my power is through my people for the whole world. Naaman. And you know, Naaman had leprosy, even though he was a great general. But we can kind of deduce from the story in 2 Kings, perhaps he was a prideful man, because he was a very accomplished man. And also in the way that he reacted to Elijah, you know, he you know, reacted very pridefully. So when Naaman came to Elijah with his sickness, he didn't meet him at the door, but he just told through his servant Gehazi that he should dip himself 7 times at the Jordan of River of Jordan. And then he went, you know, very angry and upset. Oh, I thought he would come and meet me and throw his hand over the sky and, you know, do this and that to heal me. Does not our country of Aram have great rivers greater than Jordan? So he was kind of thinking himself, he should have done something more dramatic to heal me. But, you know, Elijah just used a simple instruction through his slave. Or he's more than a slave, that he's servant. But he reacted very pridefully, refused. But eventually, Naaman listening to his own servant, saying, Master, would you have not done anything greater if he asked you? But he's just asking you to dip yourself 7 times in Jordan. Why do you not dip yourself and get healed, be healed? And so he listened to his servant, and he actually dipped himself 7 times. And when he came out, his skin became like a skin of an infant child. Amazing healing, amazing healing. So God actually healed Naaman of leprosy, possibly caused by his pride, and required him, however. He made a requirement for him to be healed. He needed to respond humbly. Because his sicknesses was a result of because of his pride, the requirement for his healing was to do the very opposite and be humble. Just learn to listen to someone. Just learn to not only be the general who tells people what to do, but listen to someone, be humble. Perhaps you'll get healed. And so just doing something opposite of the sinful habits, God brought healing in his life. Amazing healing. I would say Naaman might have felt like me. I don't know how long he's been a leper, or maybe more than me, because leprosy is probably worse than my facial pain. I had it for 10 years. I don't know how long Naaman had it, but it sounds like he had it for a long time. And he had, you know what sickness of leprosy is? Your fingers fall off. Body parts fall off. And so how terrible that must have been. He must have really, even though he was a great, accomplished man, recognized by, his king, but he was a sick man. He had leprosy. He must have suffered quite a bit. But just think, a man who's possibly suffered for 10 years or more, he was set free. Leprosy left. His skin was like the skin of a child. What an amazing, amazing freedom he must have felt. I'm just saying, I think I kind of know what he might have felt just from my own freedom from facial pain. So we see how God healed Miriam from leprosy by Moses' prayer. We see how he healed Hezekiah's terminal illness just by putting a fig over his boil, listening, responding to his prayer, and weeping bitterly. For Naaman, he was healed of leprosy. However, as a result of his humble act, him responding humbly to his prophet, dipping himself 7 times. The other famous one is healing of Job. We talked about that not long ago. And Job, it doesn't seem like he sinned at all. In every way possible, he worshiped God. He even sacrificed offerings, perhaps maybe because of his sons and daughters might have sinned. He was a righteous man. He was amazingly a righteous man. But of course, Satan came along, wanted to test him, and God did allow it. So sometimes sickness come not because of sin. It could come just for God's glory to be revealed. So in this case, Job didn't have sin. Therefore, the sickness came. But God allowed Satan to test him. But God had actually a greater purpose. He wanted to glorify himself by allowing Satan to do that. But by doing so, God sanctified Job even far more. God used this to sanctify Job. Last bit of self-righteousness he might have had, God humbled him. And as a result, he was blessed, twofold. He was blessed twofold. But when he humbled himself, Job humbles himself at the end, Job 42. You know, the healing and the return of his fortune did not come right away. He actually confessed, you know, humbled himself before God and confessed that he did not know everything God knows. But then he still had the skin disease. So Job had extreme skin disease where he scraped his arm with some pot and pieces of pot. When he confessed before God, he wasn't healed at that time. But you know when he was healed? He was healed when God told him to pray for your friends. Pray for your friends. And somebody read for us Job 42:10. Let's see. Let's have. Okay, Richard, you could read for us.
After Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes and gave him twice as much as he had before.
Read that again at the beginning.
After Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes and gave him twice as much as he had before.
Oh, after the Lord told Job to pray for his friends. And you know how difficult that probably was, because he's three friends, or maybe four, a fourth one was a better one, really annoyed him. They were self-righteous, and they were trying to say, Job, you did something wrong. God doesn't, you know, give sickness for nothing, you know. You must have done something wrong. And so We know that the sickness didn't come because of Job's sin. It was God's testing for his greater glory. He allows, so not all sickness is because of sin, but some sickness is so that God's glory will be revealed. And this is that case. But in the process, the glory is God sanctified Job even more than where he was. He purified his heart even more than where he was. And then he even tested him. Would you pray for your friends who have perhaps hurt you? Would you pray for your friends who was not comforting to you when you were suffering? But when God said to pray for your friend, Job did not hesitate. He prayed for his friends. And only after he prayed for his friends. The fortune includes his health. The fortune returned twice as much. That's when the healing came. His arm, full of scab, you know, is completely healed because Job humbled himself, confessed of his right self-righteousness also, and he obeyed the Lord, praying for his friends who may have hurt him, who were not a comfort to him during his sickness. So sometimes God, you know, brings sickness so that we would be more deeply sanctified. And he wants to see whether we will obey in spite of our own pain and hurts. Praying for someone who hurt us. And when Job obeyed that instruction, then he was healed. So in this case, the sickness was totally for God's glory, but he wanted to see whether Job really would humble himself and even pray for those who hurt him. So, by the way, I have seven of these. So I'm not sure if I'm going to go all the way through, but bear with me. So are these good examples of healing? These are some good examples, and we're learning about how God heals too, right? So the next one is the healing of Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel 4:34-36. Let's have somebody read that one. Okay, let's have Hannah. Let's have you read Daniel 4:34-36.
At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" At the same time that my sanity was restored, my honor and splendor were returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne and became even greater than before.
Wow. Read 34 again. 34.
At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion.
Very good. Well, after that time, it is saying, and what time is that? You know, he's Nebuchadnezzar. He conquered many nations. You know, Daniel was under him. And many people, many royalties from other nation was in his courts. But at some point, Nebuchadnezzar, having conquered and was successful in conquering so many nations, he became proud. He went up in his rooftop and looked at all the great things that was built around him and thought of all the nations that he conquered. And he said, "My hand has accomplished this." He was taking the glory by himself. He said, I have done this. As soon as he had that thought, God brought a mental disorder. He couldn't think straight. He kind of, I don't know if he's actually sounded like a cow mooing in the pasture, but he went grazing in the pasture. He was eating grass for, was it 3 years? He was probably doing that for 3 years. So he lost his mind, mental disorder. He became sick and he couldn't rule his, kingdom. And I'm sure during that time, for that many years, that his kingdom was probably disintegrating, factions, people taking over, whatnot. And yet people didn't know when he will come back to his senses. So I'm sure people were afraid at the same time too. But at the end of this, the way he was healed was not even God telling him to do anything. At the end of this, when he lifted up his eyes upon heaven, when he lifted up his eyes upon heaven, you know, sanity came back to him. He became sane. His mental disorder just disappeared. So God caused this mental disorder of being insane and grazing like a cow in the grass, being drenched because of the dew for 3 years. He was just out there. When will it end? Nobody knew. He did not know. Nobody else knew either. But at the end of that, when he lifted up his eyes at the heaven and theologians acknowledge this as when he looked at heaven, that's not something he made. That's not something he conquered. When he looked at heaven, it brought sanity to him because he is not the king of the universe. So just by looking at the world in the proper perspective with God being the creator and the cause of all things, his sanity came back. And so when his sanity came back, he started praising God. He was proud, conquered many nations. He was brutal, actually. And then he went into insanity. But when he looked into the heaven and realized there is a God, and I did not make heaven. When he humbled himself, when he became humble by seeing the proper perspective of life, that God is the creator. So he started praising God. He started praising God, and his fortune also came back. His kingdom came back to him. His officials came back to him. So everything was restored and even blessed double portion of it. Isn't that great? So if not careful and we start robbing the glory that God has for himself, if we start looking at my life and say, I did the work, I made this happen, this is mine. And if I start taking glory for myself, watch out. You might fall into some degree of insanity. And you, who knows? You may be in some of us may be in the midst of some insanity. Look at each other. I think most of us are pretty sane. But you never know. If we have robbed God's glory in any ways, that our way of thinking could have been impacted with some degree of insanity. Be careful. And so it's always a good habit to look in the sky. Just like Nebuchadnezzar. God made that. God deserves all the glory. Oh, Richard's making an application. He's looking at the ceiling. Oh, that's good, Richard. Look at the sky. And basically that means look at God. Keep your eyes on God. Keep glorifying God. Never take any credit for yourself. Whatever good things happen in your life, it's God. Give glory to God. And that's the path of gaining your sanity. So through healing of Miriam from leprosy, healing of Hezekiah from terminal illness of boil, healing of Naaman from leprosy as well, and healing of Job from extreme skin disease, healing of Nebuchadnezzar, we can see how God is our healer and how he heals people. Last one, I just want to close with this one actually today, is how does God heal a sick individual? Healing of Asa, 2 Chronicles 16:7-10, from foot disease. Let's have, okay. Adele, you can read that one for us. 2 Chronicles 16:7-10.
At the time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, the king of Judah, and said to him, because you relied on the king of Aram and not on the Lord your God, the army of the king of Aram has escaped from your hand. Were not the Cushites and the Libyans a mighty army with great numbers of chariots and horsemen? Yet when you relied on the Lord, he delivered them from your hand, into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord range through the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. You have done a foolish thing, and from now on you will be at war.
Okay, just go ahead and read 11 on to the end.
Oh, okay. The events of Asa's reign from the beginning to end are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. In the 39th year of his reign, Asa was afflicted with a disease in his feet. Though his disease was severe, even in his illness he did not seek help from the Lord, but only from the physicians. Then in the 41st year of his reign, Asa died and rested with his ancestors. Buried him in the tomb.
Yep, that's good enough. So, healing of Asa. Actually, there was no healing. So this is an example of God could have healed him, but he didn't get healed. Because he was hardened. He was hardened and he started trusting not God, but his own strategy and not God, but physicians, man's ability to perhaps heal. So in the beginning, though, he had like Egyptians, Ethiopians, million Ethiopians came to attack him. He trusted God, and so God defeated great army. But when Baasha from Israel, northern king, came to attack him, he used his wits. He used his strategy. He went to the king of Aram and said, if you break off the alliance with Baasha, then I'll give you this much thing, gold and silver one. And so it worked. And so he was probably thinking, oh, good job. You had a good strategy. You won the battle against Baasha. But you know, Hanani came and said, because you trusted man, king of Aram, the king of Aram escaped your hand. God was going to bless him to rule over king of Aram, but he lost the blessing. Because he trusted, not God, trusted his own wits, own strategy. He might have had victory for a brief moment, but he lost the greater blessing. Greater blessing. And starting from that, he started trusting himself and man more. So when he got a foot disease, I don't know what kind of foot disease he had. Maybe some people think it may be gout. Many people suffer from gout. And when he was suffering from foot disease, he refused to call upon the Lord. He persisted in looking to physicians, man's solution. And that's how he ended. So he's a king who started out well, but he ended badly. And so in this case, healing of Asa, there was no healing because he refused to do what God, you know, is pleased with, that is to trust in him. So in Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 29, here's an instruction from God to the Israelites. If calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. So God calls us to cry out to him in the times of calamity, whether sore, plague, or famine. God wanted, you know, as Israelites, especially the kings, knew that they are to call upon the Lord when distress comes. But Asa, at the end, he refused to call upon the Lord in his battle against Israel's northern kingdom and his battle against his sickness in the feet. Isaiah explains the relationship between spiritual understanding, conversion, and healing. This is one of the expressions of this passage. Make the hearts of these people callous, make their ears dull, and close their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed. So the healing involves turning to God, but first by seeing the spiritual perspective. Our spiritual eyes are often dim and blind, that we don't see the spiritual reality of what's going on. When things are happening, we need to look at it from a spiritual eyes. So there's a place for us to see with spiritual eyes and hear with their ears. They need to be listening to God, what God is saying, and then understand in their hearts. Understand what the heart means, agreeing with what God is saying, and my heart desiring to do what God wants. Recently, I was listening to a discipleship issue with Alex, one of the guys, and apparently he said one of the guys went through some breakthrough, but when it came to a relationship with roommates, somehow it kept on coming back, and they both realized the issue is the heart. The brother understood what God wants and what he needed to do, but his heart didn't change. And they both agree, you know, we need to pray that God would change my heart. In order to be able to be loving and gracious, the heart needs to change. And just like that, in order to for us to be healed spiritually, you know, healing, salvation is spirit, soul, and body. But in order for us to be healed, not only physically, but in our soul and spirit, there's a need for our heart to change. You know, we need to hear God's command and God's word with a humble listening ear. We need to see the spiritual reality, you know, what condition I am, and my heart needs to want to change. And our hearts need to change in order to experience the healing. So here's six example, the last one I'll do next week, of how God heals individuals and what it might require. And so, yeah, I think I just want to leave with a question. How do you think you can experience more of God's healing? How do you think you can experience more of God's healing from what we just talked about today? That's something I would like for you to share in your sharing time. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for this afternoon and this message of God, Jehovah Rapha, God the healer, and just being reminded of all these individual healings that you've done in the Old Testament and how you heal and Lord, for what purpose. And so thank you for teaching us that you do heal. And you might have an instruction or may not, or you may just want us to lift up our eyes to heaven and be humble. So whatever that may be for each of us individually, Lord, would you give us the spiritual eyes to see? Would you give us a humble heart to hear your command? And that you would really change your heart so that we may turn to you and experience that to you. So we commit this time to you in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.